think the attitude of teachers is that on the one hand, they're pleased to see that the Ministry of Education is prepared to commit some of its energy and resources to looking at the education program overall, and that there are some ideas that are being put forward in the overall program that teachers think are good ideas. There are others that they feel are certainly in need of much more research, and that we as professionals need to look at the experience that other jurisdictions have had with some of those ideas. And then I think there are other ideas that teachers just generally feel are not good ideas for changes in the education system. So it covers the whole range in terms of an overall teacher response.
That was also something I was wondering. Has this program been tested or tried out anywhere else in Canada? Or?
Well, oddly enough, Barbara, I think the thing that is the most interesting is that the support for the primary program, for example, seems to be the greatest amongst teachers. And I think that is because it is based most closely on the current experience of teachers. In other words, it does have a fairly significant research base. It has teachers are convinced that it will work and therefore are quite committed to it. The intermediate program and the graduation program present ideas that, in the opinion of teachers, have not been tested significantly, have not been based solidly enough in research, and because of that, I think they enjoy much, much less support. In fact, I think significant opposition in some cases.
How much were the teachers and the Teachers Federation consulted in designing the program?
Well, the program, in the opinion of the ministry, is based upon the recommendations of the Royal Commission on Education. Now, we feel that, in fact, some of the ideas in the program do come from that Royal Commission. Others do not. And in the process overall, we have argued very strenuously for a process that builds consensus. We have argued that changes should not proceed unless there is a consensus amongst teachers, the ministry, administrators, parents, trustees. Everybody who is involved in the education system, there should be a consensus amongst those people and those different groups in terms of the changes that should occur. And so far, we have been consulted, but in fact, we're not convinced that we have had, through our input, an impact on what is actually going to take effect. And I guess in many respects, what the government does with our input is going to be an indication of how much they are, in fact, prepared to listen to what they hear during the consultative process.
Referring back to the primary program, do the teachers, though you say they're in favor of it, do they feel it's putting too much responsibility on them to have their subjective evaluations be so important in the student's life at that age?
Well, when I say that the primary teachers support the primary program that's being recommended, I should qualify that by saying that compared to other parts of the program, the support is greatest amongst primary teachers. But there are concerns, nonetheless, by primary teachers. Some of the concerns revolve around having the adequate time and resources and support to make the kind of changed program an effective one. Let me give you one example. In Surrey, where they're planning, because of the growth that's taking place in the Surrey School District, they're planning new schools all the time. The Surrey School District was attempting to design a school that would facilitate the teaching of the new primary program. And they found that it increased the costs of the school by 25%. So I guess the real fundamental question with the primary program and with all aspects of the program, the fundamental question is, to what extent is the government committed to not just introducing these changes, but to providing the resources and to ensuring that they will succeed? And I think that primary teachers and all teachers would have that question foremost in terms of any of the changes that are coming forward.
Do you feel that we have the resources in terms of the money and the teachers to carry out this program?
Well, the BC Teachers Federation has put forward quite forcibly the argument to government that the current education system is underfunded as it is, that we don't have the resources in the system now to do the job as well as we would like to do it, under the current mandate that we have in the education system. So what the government is doing is bringing forward changes to a system that is already currently significantly underfunded, and we have argued that probably the best chance of success for any changes in the system, the best chance is going to come if the government, first of all, adequately funds the existing system and creates some stability in the system before they go ahead with implementing change. And so we have very good reason to be skeptical of the government's resource commitment in education.
More specifically, again, with the intermediate program, do the teachers feel it'll benefit the classroom to have the students divided into core and enriched programs? Or do you think that will lead to sort of streaming and cause the people, perhaps the more average students, to maybe not pursue post-secondary education?
There's definitely a significant fear that the streaming, which is in fact evident in the intermediate graduation programs, will result in a breakdown of what we have always felt was the essential liberal arts education background that each student should receive. And there is a definite concern that many students will not sort of achieve that kind of, or you know, receive that kind of well-rounded education as a result of these streaming proposals. So it is, yes, it is a concern of teachers, and it's one that we would like to see addressed in the framework document.
There seems to be, from what I've read in the program, an emphasis to try to integrate the different academic fields together. What is the teacher's opinion on this? Because it seems that teachers will have to start teaching more outside their own, perhaps, specialty than previously?
Mm-hmm. There tends to be a mixed response on the integration question. I think most teachers, of course, at the graduation or at the secondary level, teach in an area that they are well-versed in, an area they feel comfortable with, and an area, because of that, that they can do a pretty good job of teaching in. And there's a lot of concern about what will happen when subject areas are integrated. For example, as a social studies teacher, as a history teacher, I am quite familiar with the ways and means by which to work on developing critical thinking skills with students, for example, through the use of history. I don't know that I could achieve those same ends, for example, through an integrated approach, and it would require perhaps a whole area of retraining in terms of my own experience and my own training, that many teachers, I'm sure, are asking whether or not they, in terms of their careers and whatever point they are in their careers, are prepared to undertake that kind of major retraining for essentially an approach that is largely untested in terms of its validity.
Are they going to start the program off small and selected schools to see how it works out, or is it going to be an overall changeover?
Well, there is some piloting, if you like. There are what they call lead schools, where in certain program areas they are starting to work in the area of some of the changes. But overall, the program is being implemented, and the timelines would suggest that the major changes are being implemented in a fairly rapid manner.
What did the Ministry of Education tell you was behind their reason for changing the program, their motivation? What was wrong with the education program as it stands now?
Well, that's a very good question, because in fact, what we have argued is that society itself, through our experience as teachers, is placing new and increased demands upon the school system, which by and large are not addressed by the changes being proposed by the ministry. For example, in the city of Vancouver, the whole question of English as a second language, the whole question of children and poverty, the whole question of race relations in the school system, all of those are very significant questions which are demanding an increasing amount of attention by teachers and others in the school system. And many of those concerns are basically sidestepped by the proposals for change that are included in the ministry document. So it seems to me that if the government or the ministry was going to come forward with major proposals for change, that one of the things that they have missed in the process, I think, is addressing directly those changes which are being demanded by society itself in respect to changes that are occurring in society. The ministry argues that the changes that they are proposing come out of the Raw Commission document, and that that they are proceeding on very quick timelines because of a window of opportunity provided by a government that is willing to commit some of its resources to educational change. I think neither of those arguments is fundamentally substantial enough, in my opinion, to warrant essentially dramatic and significant changes in the school system.
They have the four educational strands. They have humanities, sciences, mm-hmm. fine arts, practical arts. Now, as an English teacher, how is that going to affect you within
the
high school?
Okay, the humanities, that's no problem. And many of us in English and social studies, certainly, well, many of us have taught in both areas, and we like the idea of integration. I'm kind of concerned about the fact that the fine arts isn't there in the humanities. But speaking of fine arts, there's one thing wonderful in the program. For the first time, mandated for every student is a fine arts course before graduation. And I've always thought that if you mandate math or science or English or whatever, you know, why not mandate a performing arts and appreciation? So that's kind of neat. But when you look at their definition of humanities, then you start to wonder. They've got lots of terms like relevant social issues. That you don't see words like literature or history or civilization. And unless a lot more will come, but looking at the document just as it stands now, there's a real fear, I think, that they're going to focus on skills, which are easily testable and not terribly important and can be acquired at any time, maybe to the exclusion of those elements of the humanities that have been transmitted in history and literature and folk tale and drama and music that you know hold a society together and that build common elements in common. And that's my concern about their definition of the humanities. It doesn't quite match mine. And in terms of kids' skills, the number of hours that a student will be required to take courses that traditionally, you know, we've called English and social studies, in some areas is decreased just an enormous amount. And this doesn't seem to make sense when we're approaching a time when communication skills are being touted as absolutely essential in all vocations.
Now, the game plan is that 1991 is the goal for primary schools, and by 1994 they should have it in the intermediate and graduation levels. Do you think that they are giving themselves enough time?
No. And I think everything we know about how change takes place is that it won't happen unless the people that are working with the kids are comfortable with it. And you can't rush that, and you can't mandate that. And I think that wiser heads have prevailed. I think that timetable will be slowed down somewhat. It'll have to be. Not that I don't think teachers want to balk and be negative, but there are so many fundamental changes that they need time to think and to reflect and find the best ways to bring them about.
Do you know what type of grading system it will be for the graduating level?
No, there doesn't seem to be any suggestion that the typical old-fashioned grading system we have now will change. Final exams seem well entrenched. Some possibility of expanding them, whether that means to the grade 11 courses or to those grade 12 courses that don't now have exams, I'm not sure. What does concern me is that in the intermediate program and in the graduation program, they talk about courses, all courses actually, being divided into modules of from 10 to 25 hours. In the graduation program, all courses are divided into four 25-hour modules to be tested at the end of each 25-hour module and credit given for that portion of the course. Well, that doesn't sound like integration to me. You know, that sounds like very, you know, mechanical skills, mastery learning we've tried and have found wanting. It's a picture of education and of kids that assumes that you learn, 10 things and you master them and then you're ready to learn the next 10. And that's not how the brain works. Education is untidy. And if anything worth knowing takes time to digest, to reflect, to disagree with, to come back to, it's all very circular.
Overall, what is your general impression of the program?
Oh, it's too soon to tell. And a lot of things have to happen to make it work. And much of it, I'm afraid, won't work. I don't think because teachers in the field are negative, but just because it just doesn't fit the nature of that dynamic in the classroom. I think that they mustn't ever forget that education really happens when kids, you know, get ideas, and it's students who have to be active, and the teacher somehow has to, you know, promote that. I'm afraid that some of this document perhaps envisions kids, you know, in corners with computers, getting access to information and skills, which is an important part of education, but only a part. There seems to be nothing, again, offered for the kid who's not getting anything out of the current situation. Kids who are planning to go to college and university, I think, are fairly well served by this system now. And actually, if you look back over the last 20 years on almost every national, international measure of student competency in whatever field you name, except with the exception of, I suppose, a Hong Kong student studying algebra, where they certainly, or a Japanese student with algebra, they will certainly do better than we will. But everywhere else, we stack up as well as, and in fact, a great deal better than most of the industrial world. So we've done a fairly good job, even though we spend so little on our kids compared to the rest of Canada and the rest of the world. But the students whose needs aren't being met now, the kids who don't have motivation or direction or perhaps a clear career plan, they're not being helped in this new document either.
Well, certainly when we look at the primary program, I think with most of the people I've spoken to and my feeling reading it, is that there's been general acceptance and, in fact, even enthusiasm. Many teachers feel that what it does do is describe what's already familiar to primary teachers, the kinds of descriptions of individualized learning. Those kinds of things have been going on in the primary classrooms for a long time. And so the program is, it's like an acceptance that this is what a primary teacher's day is like. And so there hasn't been a lot of controversy over the primary program.
Well, from what you've heard about the Education 2000 program, can you get any indication right now as to how much more work it would be for the teacher? Because I imagine, knowing some teachers, they're quite overloaded as it is. Do you think that your workload would be a lot heavier under Education 2000?
I think for those teachers who are... It definitely is more difficult if you're working in multi-age groupings. And people have to be philosophically prepared for the kinds of things that they'll be doing in the classroom, where you may have children from, and I'll use the old words because I'm not used to the new ones yet, from kindergarten up to grade 3, maybe even grade 4. So a wide variety of ages, a wide variety of activities taking place in the same classroom. Will be a lot of preparation, a lot of marking, a lot of keeping track of individuals. Now, many teachers are already doing that, and they're prepared to continue to do that. One of the concerns that the teachers have is that it's a really heavily resource-based program that we're looking at. And I don't mean just resources in terms of paper-pencil resources, but library resources, for instance. Teachers who are doing literature-based reading programs, they're finding that more money has to be put into library resources. Play materials. It's obvious if you've got kindergarten children in 5 or 6 different classrooms in a school, you're going to need duplication of all those kinds of materials. You need flexible furniture. You can't have small little children sitting at enormous desks. We need equipment. All kinds of equipment that works. And certainly our schools in Vancouver, we have outdated equipment. And we're going to need smaller class sizes to accommodate the kinds of individualized learning so that teachers can assure continuous progress.
I would imagine the student-teacher ratio is one of the primary considerations in this, and that if you are to deal with students on a more individual level, you can't do that if you have a class of 35 or something.
No, you certainly can't do it. And we're being promised, certainly by the ministry, that the dollars are going to be there, but in terms of educational funding, this province has not had a great track record. And so you have to... There is a lot of skepticism, in spite of the good things that we've seen. In terms of the philosophy, teachers welcome the statements in the program that say, you know, learning requires active participation. children learn at different rates and in different ways. Learning is an individual and a social process. We all know that. We welcome it in the philosophy. We accept and are happy to see statements where they're going to promote gender equity, acceptance and awareness and respect for our First Nations and our multicultural society, and that they're going to be special resources for the ESL students and our special needs students. However, the track record again, many teachers are looking at this with skepticism, and they're not sure that it is going to be there. And one of the reasons why we're unsure is the kind of fast track that this whole program has been put on. Not so much the primary program, again, but the feeling that teachers are not being given the time to look at even the framework. They're not being given time to do the professional development that's going to be necessary to make the program work.
Mm-hmm. There's been some criticism from students, especially in the junior and secondary levels, that there was not a consultation done with the students. Evidently, at the primary level, that would be a little more difficult to get some constructive comments back from the students, although maybe there still is room for that. Do you feel, then, that the consultation process has worked properly, or do you think that there should have been and should be more input from students and from the teachers?
Well, the consultation progress, it hasn't been good enough. And just an example of that, when the BCTF went to the minister and asked for a day that teachers could look at the framework and respond, as we're being asked to do, they were told by the Minister of Education that, sorry, teachers will not receive a day off. Well, it doesn't give me much of a sense of the way professional development is looked upon by the Minister of Education when it's considered a day off. And the problem, I mean, here we are in a school year. We in our school had already set all of our professional development time last year. And suddenly we're looking at the year 2000 document, and there isn't a lot of time. There isn't a lot of time to look at it, and yet we're all attempting to respond to it. And our concern, of course, is how much of the document really is it a discussion paper, or how much of it is just going to be mandated.
I have one final question for you then, and that regards maybe the administrative side. I know that you're involved primarily with the teaching, but in that there is a move away from the grade 1, 2, 3, and so on, from that very structured approach. Do you think that it will turn into administrative and bureaucratic nightmare when every individual student is on a different path?
No, I don't, because really, in reality, children are on different paths anyway, and I think that can be handled, each child being assessed individually. Teachers are willing to do that and to look at that. One of our biggest problems is one of the major contradictions in the whole document is that contradiction between the philosophy of continuous progress, where we recognize children learning at different rates, learner profiles, although I understand that's something that the ministry is still playing around with. We don't even know really what they mean. And their whole progress, their whole thing of assessment, the whole statements around assessment, where teachers are going to be asked to report to parents how a child is doing compared to some kind of provincial average, and that inconsistency with individualized learning and continuous progress, and then being told that we're going to have to know how they're doing at a provincial level. So what we do know is that there is going to be more provincial tests. There may not be more tests as such in the schools, but there are going to be more provincial tests at a greater range of subjects and at an earlier age. And teachers are very upset about this. Of course, we're being told that there are all these new computer technologies that are going to help us. I suppose the idea is a computer on every teacher's desk, but I can't believe it. None of us believe it.
At our school, we had two meetings in November, one at which Don Briard from the Vancouver Secondary School Teachers spoke, and Don Wilson from UBC, and the second when the author of the report, Sandy Peel, was the guest. And from there, from those meetings, we've decided that we're in favor of the philosophy of the report, and conceptually it's good, but there are so many problems with the implementation.
Being that there's not enough resources or money?
Well, I can go on now if you want with what concerns there are.
Yes.
We do believe in critical thinking and problem-solving skills and reasoning skills, but how are we going to put all these into practice when the timeline is so short? In most experiments, or even in programs that are put into use, you always have a pilot study, and then you test it, and then you can modify it, and then clarify it. And from what we can see as parents, this isn't going to be done. We seem to be told from the top that this is the program. So how is it going to work? The timelines are 3 to 4 years for developing all new curriculum in many areas. And other problems, too, are why should our grade 11 and 12 students be taken out from 100 hours of social studies and English to go and work in the community when so many of them have jobs already, so many of them don't need that kind of work? Who will supervise them? Is workers' compensation going to be there? It's just taking too much time from the English and social studies hours that have been allotted.
Is that volunteer work that there's to do for 100 hours?
We haven't figured that out. It just says in the mandate for graduate studies for the last 2 years, grades 11 and 12, they will work in the community for 100 hours. And so I think they would be paid, but the concern in Vancouver is that there are work-study programs in the system already, and they cannot even find positions for a lot of those students. So if we put in literally thousands of grade 11 and 12, you know, are they going to be replacing other workers, people who have heads of families? So that's a major concern, the time and how it's going to work.
You said 3 or 4 years. Is that for full implementation of all the levels of the program?
Yes, it is.
Not just the primary?
No.
Full implementation.
Yes.
Are they going to, have they mentioned to you whether they're going to make every school offer every program? Or are you going to have to choose your school according to what program you want to attend?
No, I think the schools are going to be given a lot of autonomy, the school boards as well, but each school apparently is going to run programs, and a lot of them are going to be locally developed programs. So I guess you could choose your school if, you know, if one school had a program that you were interested in and not the others. The other problem this brings up is when you're in your graduate years, you know, is there really streaming? You know, are you going to university? Are you going to be on the exploration program? Are you going to do a practical work experience program? There just doesn't seem to be enough detail available.
Has the Ministry of Education made any reference to whether or not, with the change in our education program, how that will relate if, say, after graduation, a student wants to go to a university in Ontario?
Mm-hmm. This is a problem. Will other institutions, universities, the business community, accept this change of program?
It seems to be making some wide differences. It'll be hard to compare the abilities of students in this program compared to the rest of the country if they're not following this new program. Do you know if any other provinces are considering this?
Not to my knowledge, although some people will say, well, it's being done in Ontario. Parts of it, this program is really totally new. So other communities or provinces are doing parts of it, but sort of not this total change.
And not so quickly. And just one last question. When you make your recommendation to this Ministry of Education, what changes are you going to be putting on that?
Well, we have so many, and we have to say it very concisely, because I'm not sure that the Ministry is going to be able to read all the responses, because they've given themselves 6 weeks to read and assess and modify their program from the responses that are being given. But we will be concerned, especially from our point of view as a high school, about the graduate program. Mm-hmm. You know, right now there are no prerequisites for it. You know, are the students really being streamlined? Are the classes too large? The teacher's going to be expected to do 16 reports, I think it is, per year per student. You know, now it's hard enough to even get 3 reporting times out. And a lot of these reports are to be anecdotal. So I think our real concern is class size, retraining of teachers. I think who's going to fund the in-service that's needed? Our other real concern, too, is the ministry wants to have a collection of all the student evaluation data somewhere else, centralized. So all the marks the students get go to a central government office. Well, we're a little concerned about that as well.